Good morning. This is a wonderful day to worship the Lord, but then every day is a wonderful day to worship the Lord. Yesterday I spent the day in Central Florida Bible Camp with three of our young people at Lived Saved. It was a wonderful experience for those young people that weren't there. We do some many wonderful activities, and this was one of them. And if you want to learn a new game, you got to talk to Anna, and she'll teach you a new game. I like to tease Anna. I see many of our members are missing today. Let's keep them in our prayers. And Millie told me her husband is back in the hospital, Albert. Let's keep Albert in our prayers. And we do have some visitors today. Please greet our visitors. One family that I'd like to mention, I got to look for the last name, Odom. It's Jerry, Sherry. I got to look. Ken, I'm sorry. Ken and Sherry. And then we got the children. We got Taylor and we got Jordan. So please make sure that you greet all of our visitors with the love and the heart of Jesus. I was at Live Save yesterday, so I missed Cletus's call and didn't get it till late last night, where he told me he had hurt his back and I needed to preach this morning. So I am preaching a developmental sermon. One that developmental means it's not finished. So please look over the roughness of this sermon, but I think it's a good one. I've entitled it God's Promise. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will place a curse on them who harm you. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you." Sometimes we get to a point where we don't think much of the Old Testament. But the roots of Christianity, the reason that we are, is found in the Old Testament. And we need to understand this point, because Jesus Christ and the thought of the New Testament is the culmination and the completion of an action that didn't begin on that wonderful day in Bethlehem when Jesus was born, but started in the 12th chapter of Genesis with this promise. It started when God said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your relative, your father's family, and go to a land that I will show you." If we want to understand our Christian faith, if we want to know Jesus as the New Testament knows Jesus, if we want to understand as Paul and the other apostles understood about Jesus and about our faith, we need to go back to the beginning. Back to the promise that God gave to Abraham. Because upon this promise, all the rest of the Bible is the actions of God to fulfill it. One promise, and God God wrote history. He got active in history to bring about this promise. The action in Jesus Christ is the summation, the completion, and the fulfillment of the promise of God. And unless we comprehend that which has gone before, we cannot fully grasp our own faith in Jesus Christ. God has acted out a fearful and wonderful drama in our world. And if we want to understand Act 3, we need to understand Act 1 and 2 as well. Paul tells us in the letter to the Romans that Abraham is the father of all. He is the father of those of the faith, whether it be in the Old or the New Testament. And in chapter 11, he explains that Israel of the Old Testament is the root of a tree into which he has grafted us as wild branches. The nature of the Christian church is defined in large measure by what Israel was or was supposed to be in the Old Testament. And what God did for Israel is our family background and our inheritance as Christians. We cannot, therefore, fully understand the nature of Christianity, the nature of the church, unless we understand the nature of Israel in the Old Testament. What did it mean to be the chosen people of God? What was the promise given to Israel? And what was its mission in our world? What was its relationship to the Lord? And what were its obligations? What was the cost of discipleship? And what was the outcome? All of these questions have a direct bearing upon our life as Christians and upon the churches of Christ and the world. Because all of them give definition to our life with our Lord. To put it in other words, the Christian church is, in the understanding of the Bible, the new Israel of God. Through our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we inherit the nature and life of the chosen people of the Old Covenant. In Christ, we become the new Israel, the people of the new covenant. And we must diligently inquire who Israel was in the beginning, because what it was to be, we have become through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Israel lie the character and meaning of our spiritual existence. Across the pages of the Old Testament, it is written that the nature, let me start that sentence all over again. Across the pages of the Old Testament is written the nature of our existence as a church. Through its people is proclaimed a promise which found fulfillment in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The roots of our Christian faith lie deep in the Old Testament. And over the next 6 Sundays, we will be learning more fully who Jesus Christ is and who we are as people of the cross, as people of God. Our story, the story of God's plan of salvation, begins as God approached a man in Mesopotamia a very long time ago. That man's name was Abram, who God later named Abraham. And he made a promise to this man. Let's read it again. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will put a curse on those who harm you, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you. That was the promise that he made to this man such a long time ago. There's also an explicit promise here of a gift of land to Abraham's descendants. He was to leave behind country and kindred and go to a land that he did not know, and God promised that land to him. And through through this Abraham, through this promise to Abraham, God was going to bless all the people on earth. In this promise to Abraham, Israel saw the beginning of its life with the Lord and the reason for his existence on earth. Israel, the descendants of Abraham, was to be the means whereby God would bestow his favor on humanity. There were three parts to the original promise to Abraham. The promise of descendants who would become a great nation, the promise of a land to call their own, and the mission of God to bless the entire world. And there's a fourth element that wasn't mentioned in the first promise, but when God reiterated his promise in Genesis 17, the promise of a special relationship, the promise of a covenant in which he would be their God and they would be his people. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 7 and 8, "And I will make an agreement between me and you and all your descendants from now on. I will be your God and the God of all your descendants. You will live in the land of Canaan, now as a stranger, but I will give you and your descendants all this land forever, and I will be the God of your descendants." With this promise to Abraham, the Lord of the universe, the ruler of history, had spoken a word into the life of humanity. But it was no idle word. It was an affirmation of the Bible that God's word is active, is powerful, and it will act. It is the power which shapes the course of history. It is the power which moves history forward and brings about events. When God gave his promise to Abraham, he released into history a vital force which will now determine the events that follow after it. The promise of God to Abraham will now shape all the happenings in the world and will move them forward until this promise will be fulfilled. God's word never returns to him without accomplishing that for which it was spoken. Let's read Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11. "Rain and snow fall from the sky and don't return without watering the ground. They cause the plants to sprout and grow, making seeds for the farmer and bread for the people." The same thing is true of the words I speak. "They will not return to me empty. They make things happen that I want to happen, and they succeed in doing what I send them to do." You see, when God speaks, it's not like us. Sometimes I speak a lot, Charlie, and don't say nothing. But when God speaks, his words come true. God spoke, "Let there be light." And what happened? There was light. God said, "Let us make man in our image." What happened? Man in his image. When God promised Abraham that he would be a blessing to the entire world, what happened? In Jesus Christ, he blessed the entire world. His words do not come back empty. They are not vain words. They are words of action. When God speaks, he does. When God speaks, history changes. When God speaks, we should listen. And God made a promise to Abraham. When God speaks his word runs through the course of history until the promise is accomplished. When God utters a promise, it happens. Still in the book of Isaiah, but chapter 46, verse 11. I am calling a man from the east to carry out my plan. He will come like a hawk from a country far away. I will make what I have said come true. I will do what I have planned. We may at times try to interfere with the plan of God, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. But God's plan happens the way God wants it to. God spoke a word to Abraham. He injected a promise into the course of human history, and everything that followed that promise in Genesis can be understood in the terms of that promise. The whole biblical story is the record of how God fulfilled His promise to Abraham. And in terms of the five verses that we read from Genesis, we can lay the foundation for understanding all scriptures. Here is the crucial beginning. And the rest of our story will continue over the next 6 weeks or the next 6 Sundays that I preach. Until ultimately we see how God's word works in history until the culmination in Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful to be a part of a people that has such a wonderful and powerful God? Isn't it wonderful to know that God's plan for us will come true? God has still made promises to us today, and we can rest assured that these promises will be fulfilled. Because our God is a powerful God, is an awesome God, is a God that keeps His promises. And isn't it wonderful to know that our God is so powerful that He can mold history so that His promise to Abraham can come true? Do we have fear? Are we worried about our lives as Christians? Then brothers and sisters, be strengthened in your faith. When God speaks, it comes true. And maybe you're not yet a part of this powerful family of God. You know, God has called, and He said, today is the day of salvation. Today He has called you. Why wait? The Lord wants you to be blessed through the seed of Abraham. He wants you to be a part of this family into eternity. He wants you to be His child. He wants you to be a part of His family. And this can only happen if this morning you would come, let yourselves be baptized, and wash away the sins of that you have done, and to walk the life after Jesus. It's the only way. If you want to be a part of this powerful family, of this powerful inheritance, of this powerful word, then come this morning as we stand and sing.